Hello and welcome to Synopsis, your weekly roundup of news and analysis from ONFIF around the world, coming to you from ONFIF headquarters here in the City of London. I'm Julian Fraser. Today we're discussing Christine Lagarde as she prepares to take up the ECB presidency, troubles at the Reserve Bank of India, and Boris Johnson's special advisor Dominic Cummings. All that and more besides, coming up next. Welcome to this week's edition of Synopsis. Christine Lagarde, who takes over from Mario Draghi as European Central Bank President on the 1st of November, brings a wealth of experience to confront coming challenges, wrote David Marsh for the ONFIF website. There is one problem, according to observers in the core Euro member countries. It may be the wrong sort of experience. Lagarde stands out among the three ECB chiefs so far in never having worked in a central bank. Some Central European central bankers fear she will devote her energies to engaging with European and world leaders on seeking high-level economic reforms. This would include trying to seal a long-touted grand bargain under which countries such as Germany would relax fiscal policy in exchange for a gradual tightening of European interest rates. Such an approach, while laudable in many ways, could neglect problems at the heart of the ECB. Board members and central bank governors accounting for more than half of the 19-member euro area GDP voiced misgivings about the ECB's 12 September decision to restart its government bond purchases at 20 billion euros a month. The cut in negative interest rates to minus 0.50% was less controversial. Allies and antagonists credit Draghi with near mystical skills in conjuring majorities for contested policies. In 8 years at the ECB, he has frequently pushed through measures by first raising market expectations with dexterous statements predicting forthcoming action, leaving his colleagues with no choice but to ratify the decision or otherwise be blamed for provoking a destabilising market sell-off. Defying criticism that she should not unduly heed persistent German sniping, Lagarde can be expected to wage a charm offensive with conservative German economists and politicians. This can bring important benefits. The next 2 years will demonstrate whether it is enough. Late last year, India's finance ministry clashed with the central bank, saying it was being excessively cautious, wrote ONFIF Advisory Council Chairman Meghna Desai. The Reserve Bank of India's capital ratio at the time was 9.6%, which some believed was unnecessarily high. The bank's governor Urjit Patel and his deputy Viral Acharya discreetly left the institution. The government then appointed a commission chaired by former RBI governor Bimal Jalan. In August, that committee reported the capital ratio could be reduced safely. The RBI announced it would transfer the government 1.76 trillion rupees, around $250 million, from its dividend income and by drawing down its reserves. This has raised questions over the central bank's independence, which itself is a recent development. The Bank of England, for example, only gained independence from the UK government in 1997. India has never had such a tradition, and the 1935 legislation setting up the RBI states that it must follow Treasury advice. For years, governors were appointed from a pool of retired finance secretaries. Shaktikanta Das, a former finance ministry official, is the RBI's latest governor. He has been active in reducing the interest rate while keeping inflation on its downward path. This cooperative attitude will continue. Meanwhile, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman has been signalling a more expansionist fiscal policy. The budget presented in early July imposed higher taxes and various restrictions on foreign direct investment, which India badly needs. The government has eased taxation and relaxed the restrictions on FDI. India will need a convincing show of long-run investment growth if it is to regain its place as an attractive home for foreign investors. Brian Redding, once an economic advisor to British Prime Minister Edward Heath, as well as the first economics editor of The Economist magazine, and at one time ONFIF's most prolific columnist, wrote a uniquely insightful article this week about another Westminster special advisor. Dominic Cummings, the activist who has risen to prominence under Boris Johnson, is a special case, renowned for his influence over the Prime Minister's strategy for leaving the EU. Cummings was a key figure in the Vote Leave campaign that resulted in the no to EU membership in the June 2016 referendum. More recently, he was the principal force behind Johnson's political ploy of proroguing Parliament. He has become an important ingredient in the political story, but most special advisers, or SPADs, stay behind the scenes. Their job is to communicate, contradict, explore options, and keep their mouths shut. SPADs have no executive functions and supposedly cannot command civil servants. And yet Cummings claims line management over the other 100 or so SPADs. Last month he sacked Sonia Khan, a Treasury advisor personally appointed by the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Sajid Javid, and without his knowledge. Arguably, Cummings should be sacked. However, that is unlikely to be his fate unless he shows himself incompetent, steps grotesquely out of line, or is plain unlucky. It may still be too soon to write him off. Special advisers go back centuries. Ministers seek advice from spouses, friends, and/or experts. Prime ministers need private armies. They do not have departmental civil servants. Prime Minister David Lloyd George had an informal garden suburb in the First World War. Winston Churchill a kitchen cabinet in the Second. Spad's power is difficult to define. Cummings might wish to remove from office Mark Carney, but the far-from-Brexit-friendly Bank of England governor is due to go away anyway at the end of January 2020. Physically, to set fire to the Palace of Westminster is unthinkable, but to do so metaphorically was not, through the act of prorogation and, possibly in future, disregarding parliamentary acts. Spads are ministers' personal appointments, and go when they do. Johnson and Cummings are bound together, for better, and possibly for worse. In a podcast published earlier this week, Omfif economist Pierre Ottlieb spoke with Brian McMahon, managing director in BNY Mellon's Alternative Investment Services Department. They discussed the shifting nature of public pensions, their changing asset allocations, the potential of private markets, and how the broad-based retailization of private asset classes remains a firm, albeit elusive, goal. You can listen to their conversation on the Omfif website, or wherever you get your podcasts. To mark the start of a busy fourth quarter of 2019 for Omfif, next week is an especially busy and globetrotting one for our meetings team, with seminars and roundtables being held in Europe, Asia, and the US. On Tuesday, the 1st of October, we are convening a workshop in Singapore on scaling up sustainable infrastructure development. On Wednesday, we host former ECB Executive Board Member and Chief Economist Peter Pretz in New York for a discussion on Europe's economic outlook. On the same day in Tokyo, in partnership with the Asian Development Bank Institute, we are holding a seminar on mobilising finance to combat climate change-related risks. And finally, on Thursday in London, Laurie Renison of the Bank of Canada will lead a roundtable on digitalisation and its impact on the conduct of monetary policy. Further details about those meetings can be found on the Omfif website, and links to the relevant pages are included in the description of this podcast. The monetary policy committees of several central banks also convene next week, including those of Australia, Iceland, and Poland, as well as the aforementioned Reserve Bank of India. And that, indeed, is all for this week's edition of the Omfif Synopsis. To read in greater detail about what we've discussed, visit www.omfif.org. And if you'd like to receive our editorial output and details about forthcoming meetings, sign up at omfif.org/subscribe. I'm Julian Fraser. Thank you for listening.